Good morning. This is Carol Moyle, Committee Assistant, Environment and Energy Committee. Today is Thursday, July 7th, 10 a.m. Agenda for today includes a work session on Senate Bill 237B relating to exclusive farm use zones and marginal lands.
Meeting of Environment and Energy will come to order. We will be meeting all day. We will be going up for calls of the House. We will break for lunch. We will start again at, if floor session is through at 12, we'll start at 1. If it's through at 12:30, we'll start at 1:30. So it will depend on when floor session, so you have a full hour for lunch. We will also, if you will bundle up all your materials so Carol can pick it up quickly, as soon as there's a first call of the House.
Call the House.
It is going to be easier for us to move back and forth if we go up to room 257, which I just found out is clear for us until caucus time, and we'll have caucus anyhow, and we'll come back to room 257, which is right by the floor door on second
floor.
So
we'll meet at 257 after this call?
Yes. And please keep all your stuff bundled so we can...
I understand it's on 257. Bundled.
I certainly hope not. But keep all your stuff together. I take your own bundles in to the floor and bring it back.
Once again, where do the witnesses go?
Which ones?
They're lost.
Okay. Before we get off of marginal lands, which I certainly like to, Russ, did you and Dick come up with anything? Or is it just the same old stuff here?
Mr. Chairman, is it all right if we just sit off
sure,
the end of the
sure.
table here?
Pull a couple chairs up.
Dick Benner from 1000 Friends. Madam Chair, what I did since the work session yesterday is, besides think about the problem, I made some phone calls to some ranchers in Douglas County and east of the mountains. And the principal question I asked them was, can you think of it? I explained the way the bill works now and how it treats Class 6 lands. And I asked them if they could think of a different way from the income test differentiation between ranches that were making a contribution and ranches which weren't, if they could think of a different way to distinguish Class 6 soil that's part of ranches or Class 6 soil that was making a contribution from Class 6 soil that was not. And a couple of suggestions I made to them were, can you make a distinction based on animal unit months? Can you make a distinction on whether the land is managed versus not managed? That is, some kind of farm practice, ranch practices takes place on the land. And I have to say that I didn't get anything very satisfactory from them. Each one of the ranchers, I spoke to three people, each one of them, the principal part of their operations is Class 6 soil. The one in Douglas County, that I'm sure Representative Anderson knows, the Talcotts, their operation is mostly Class 6 with some Class 4. And I talked to a fellow by the name of Grant Robbins from Wasco County and a Floyd Hawkins from Malheur County, and both of them have predominantly Class 6 operations. All of them do some kind of management techniques on most of their lands. Two of them said that there is a portion of their ranch which they do not manage. And what they meant by that was they don't practice any activities out there such as fertilizing or weed control. But when I asked them if there was a way to differentiate portions of their ranches from other portions in which their management activities are less intense, the only response I got was, well, they treat early pasture differently from the land that is grazed all year round. But they all said that the early pasture was important to them. They grazed it for a period of, generally, it depends on the rainfall in a particular year, but generally from mid-March through the end of June. And they would certainly not want that land to be identified in their ranches as something that could be sacrificed to residential development. I asked them about the income test, and I did get something that I thought was instructive and bears up. The field test that Agriculture for Oregon did of the lower productivity test in Wasco County. And that is, and this I think countervails the testimony of planning director from Cook County, Zelenka, Bill Zelenka, I think is his name. And that is, our field test in Wasco County indicated that there were, in the area we looked at, which is a long 7-mile road in Wasco County, I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but it's southwest of the Dalles, there were significant tracts, and I think we counted about 10,000 acres, of land that was Class 6 land, had very low woodland productivity, or none at all because of low rainfall. In other words, met the low productivity test, and we talked to the extension agent in the county and asked the extension agent whether that land was part of operating ranches that produced 20,000 or more, and the extension agent said, by and large, no. When I talked to Grant Robbins, who's got a ranch 6 miles southeast of the Dalles, he said that he was familiar with land around his ranch that was Class 6 soil, had no woodland suitability, that also was not producing $20,000 or was not part of a ranch producing $20,000. I got the same answer from the rancher from Douglas County, Neil Talcott, who said that there was Class 6 soil that was generally in small parcels. And what I asked him what he meant by that. He said between 20 acres and 100 acres, 150 acres, that is on Class 6 soil that is not part of ranches making $20,000 or more. What that indicates to me, what I think that indicates is that perhaps Cook County is unusual, but in other counties that have a lot of Class 6 soil that is grazed as part of ranches, there is land that meets the low productivity test that is not part of ranches producing $20,000 or more. What I concluded from those conversations is that perhaps the only alternative that I think is reasonable to what you've got in the bill now is to say, instead of did not contribute, say was not managed as part of. And that is something that the committee debated several work sessions ago. And I don't know that you really rejected it. It's just that when the votes were counted, you decided to settle on contribute. The several options that we looked at that I was thinking about yesterday, such as words that would substitute for significant, such as materially or measurably, substantially. What I think you end up with when you choose a word like that is you end up with a policy that on every ranch in the state that is generally Class 6 soil, you can have a certain amount of marginal land. In other words, just about every ranch in the state that wanted to, where the operator wanted to, could say that a portion of his ranch, Class 6 soil, is not making a significant contribution or a substantial contribution or a measurable contribution, etc. And you'd end up with a situation where you could have a part of every ranch that would be marginal land. And the ranchers I talked to about that, that was very unattractive to them because they saw the possibility of 10 and 20 acre home sites alongside their ranches, and that they see that as very, you know, it's a potential source of interference.
Roger, Representative Anderson.
We've been all talking about class six. Don't we have any soil people? Typically, Douglas County has the South Slope hillsides. They have approximately 6 inches of soil and stay underneath. They don't graze them from March until July. They are about 3 weeks availability on those. They're right outside town. They join the urban growth boundary and so on. And certainly, I would think that some of those lands, even though they are part of a 2,000 acre or 4,000 acre situation, could be marginal. Now, I don't know if they call those class eight. I would, if there isn't. In other words, it's about next to being a rim rock or solid rock. You know, it's about as zero as you can get. I'm just exploring mentally the possibility of writing in whatever it is, seven or eight, go on down the line further is a possibility. And I'm sure that wouldn't be acceptable either to some of the ranchers in 20 miles out of town. We just don't want dogs. And I wouldn't either if I, you know, if I were a rancher, I have to look at both sides of it. But is there some way we can explore beyond class six?
Representative Anderson, do you know that area well enough to know what size tracts they are? Are they generally broken into 50s, 100s?
Well, generally along, you know, the Northumberland Highway, there certainly are a lot of small tracts. You get, you know, I suppose if you want to use 240-60%, some of that that's already been developed and so on will fall into marginal land. But if you get to a matter of 100 yards or so off of the highway, then you start getting into big ranges generally. So that's why, you know, maybe Representative Bradbury's 60% to 40, in those cases, handle the situation. They're separated by a road, but I guess that doesn't make a difference unless they're related. I'm just sort of brainstorming here, of course.
Well, what I was going to say, what I was suggesting is that if those tracks that you're thinking of are smaller than 200 acres and they're not connected with one of the big ranches you're talking about, chances are they're not going to make the income test.
We have 200 acre minimum staging in compact plant.
Well, one possibility, I think, would be to say that, to acknowledge that if you're talking about range land that is class 6 or 7 or 8, if it's below a certain size, exempt it from the income test just as a convenience, because 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, a parcel of that size can't meet the income test anyway.
I guess we're reaching. I'm not sure anybody here wants to necessarily cut up the 4,000 acre grazing land in Oregon or Douglas County or wherever it's at. There still needs to be some way to identify marginal lands. You know, I keep looking at Crook County, using an example, but we're all outside the city of Prineville. This is where we part company, I guess. I hold that somewhere the American dream is there for the 5 acre ranchero to have a horse and cow within that particular area. I don't know whether we can accommodate it, but that's what I keep preaching.
Let me remind you that the field testing we did in Wasco County indicates that there's going to be quite a lot of that, and it tends to be fairly close to the dalles. And again, you've heard testimony about Wasco County and testimony about Cook, and they seem to be heading in different directions, but and I can't tell you which one is typical, but after having talked to Talcott and some others, I think the experience will be that there is quite a bit of land out there on Class 6 that is not part of ranches making 20,000 or more.
I guess where I would leave it, I'll shut up after this, would be the possibility of the commission dealing with a large grazing area they're laying out there, or the, not large, large and small, when they find the time available to address the problem of grazing. We're addressing forestry and farm, and it's just been the last 10 days, I guess, that we really raised the question about grazing land at some point. So I would like to look at that question maybe going to the Department of Commission or the Joint Committee, I don't care about it.
Representative Van Lewin.
I guess I have some real concerns, and there's no way I can go with the bill as long as it stays as he's been addressing it here. I don't know all of the ranchers whom he's named, but I have a strong feeling that he only called the ranchers who are financially okay. I find that it's a real unfair situation where other people who are not ranching, who may have bought some of that land, somebody who is in a business someplace else and was looking for an investment, could have in the past bought acreages of land, and they have out in those areas. They, because the land is lying idle and it's in the Class 6 or whatever, they don't have to meet all of these different tests. They could have that land classed as marginal land. They could sell off the different parts of it that way after it was classed as marginal, so it had a greater value to it. You are saying that the farmer or the rancher who wanted to stay as a rancher, but because he had loans due at the bank and had to do something drastic, could not get a part of his farm classed as marginal so he could sell that. I better say ranch if I'm on that side of the mountains. Could not have that class as marginal, so if he did sell it, it would be a portion of it off. It would be at a much lesser value so that he could stay in the agricultural occupation. I find something highly unfair in the situation, and I've lived in Eastern Oregon, I've lived in Central Oregon, and I now live in the Willamette Valley. I just am having a real struggle, and I don't know what Russ Nippon had to say, but I think he must have done something too, and maybe I shouldn't have interfered at this point, but go ahead. Russ.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, the counties have objected to the income test all along, and so the work I've been doing has been along the lines of trying to make it as workable as possible, recognizing that we don't like the concept. What I suggested to Dick yesterday, in which apparently he doesn't feel comfortable, was to drop the income test with regard to farm use in particular, and to use some phraseology that just says that the land is not necessary to maintain the commercial agricultural enterprise or the farm operation or whatever terminology you want to use. The local government's going to have to make findings as to whether this land is really integral to the farming operation, and we were exploring some wording along those lines. Dick isn't comfortable with it, but I really think the income thing is not the essential question, especially when you're talking about rangeland. It's an issue of whether or not this land is necessary to maintain the commercial agricultural capability of the land. And I don't know any other way of saying it. I can offer that wording if there are members of the committee that feel that that's a better direction to go. If that is not an option that the committee wants to consider, I have come around to the point where I can, looking at the words that are up on the board there and the three options that I've written down, I would suppose that from a local evaluation standpoint, we can do as well with the phrase "was not managed as part of" as we can with either of the first two. Because the term "managed" implies that something has been actively done by the farmer to improve or sustain the productive capability of that land. If it's lying there and hasn't been used, then you can make a finding that it hasn't been managed. And if it hasn't been managed as part of the farm, then presumably the farmer could propose that land as marginal land. Again, we have to remember that it's optional, and local governments that maybe feel that that wording is too broad can narrow it down. But I think that the wording has to be broad enough so that where it's appropriate, counties can designate that kind of land.
Representative Trainer.
Madam Chair, listen, I'm not sure I got the exact wording. I'd ask that we could put as an item for that kind of language so we could consider that with the other.
Chairman?
Representative
Vic, can you tell me, take me through a way that maybe, say Hewlett-Packard Tektronix wanted to locate a plant over outside of Pineville on some marginal land. How would they, how would that be allowed under this, if this were law, under the language that you'd prefer?
Well, Representative Priestley, just like today, Hewlett-Packard would have to take an exception from the goals in order to do that. And, they'd have to take an exception, I presume, from the urbanization goal, because they're proposing a plant that doesn't need a rural location or isn't dependent upon some resource that comes from a rural location to be outside an urban growth boundary. And if they were on farmland, they'd have to show why. You really boil down to the same tests as to why that plant should be in a rural location on farmland or otherwise, as opposed to an urban location. But an exception would have to be taken.
Trying to get onto the theory of this, is there any dispute that if we had the ideal world that we all seek, that the city of Portland would be located on marginal land, would it not? Isn't that the idea?
It's too bad we're not there, yes. That would be nice.
But this is a contrary. Does this not set up establishes if it takes an exception? Doesn't this set up a contrary kind of value system that makes it more difficult that it's the exception rather than the rule?
Well, when you draw, we are dealing with a situation that is, in the valley, that the major cities happen to fall on a pretty good farmland, and the alternative, I guess, is to move the cities off that land someplace else, but. The process that the city of Portland and Metro have had to go through, as other cities, is to assess what their growth needs are, and once they know that, they choose which direction in which to grow, and it's written into Goal 14 that there's a bias trying to get the city to grow in the direction where the soil is worse. That's one of the factors they have to consider when they decide where they're going to take that 10,000 acres of vacant land that they need. So that is written into state policy. It's unfortunate that the Portland and Corvallis and Eugene and Salem, et cetera, are on class 1, 2, and 3 soils, generally.
I'm sorry for the digression. I have a philosophy,
We can't take down the city though.
I would think, in tying it to marginal lands, if there was attractive marginal lands outside a city that's generally located in an area of good agricultural land, and the city wanted to extend its urban growth boundary to accommodate a Hewlett-Packard plant or just to accommodate urban development, the city would probably want to look at the marginal lands first to expand its boundary to include the marginal lands before it went out into an area of class 2 or 3 soils.
Representative Bradford.
To get this issue moving along, I would move that the adopt was not managed as plan. Part of. Mm-hmm.
Representative Bradbury moves that we include on line 11 of the legislative draft proposed marshal lands did not, were not, was not
managed,
as part of a farm operation that produced. Any discussion, Representative Parkinson?
Could I have anyone outline to me the difference between option three and four, a situation?
Option three and four.
One of the professionals, I think, is
who. Okay. One of the professionals want to tell us.
Well, either Nebron or Benner.
Okay, either one.
Chairman, Representative Parkinson, I'll try, and then if Dick wants to qualify my answer, that's fine. I explained briefly what I thought the term managed implied. You could have a situation where land could be considered managed, but where the farmer could tell you that he had other options or ways of maintaining the same size of herd or whatever type of farming or agricultural operation you're talking about, and that by losing this land, it was not necessary to have that land as part of his holdings in order to maintain that operation. So the situation where he's sending some sheep out for a couple of weeks of the year, if he has alternatives to that that he could be doing, and it's not essential that he have that as part of his farm operation to maintain it, it would fall under marginal lands under number four, but under number three, because he is grazing the land and is presumably managing it, it would not.
Lois, Lois wanted to say something. Lois, do you want to say something?
I would, as a farmer, I would, for the record, Lois Carnegie, Agriculture for Oregon. As a farmer, I would like to say something about the fourth option that Russ suggested is not necessary to maintain the agricultural operation. Right now, our family is in the process of trying to decide whether we are going to continue with a lease on a small parcel of about 18 acres that we have been farming for the last 20 years. And no, that parcel is not necessary to maintain the agricultural operation of the Carnegie family. Not necessary means that we do not need that particular parcel to maintain enough income to produce a livelihood for the Carnegies. The question is, for us, is whether that is going to give us more options in the future. But that parcel of land, simply because it's not necessary for our operation, is certainly not marginal. And I think that is such a broad definition of what any agriculturalist might need to maintain their operation that I would find it rather dangerous and rather frightening. I think the was not managed as part of is a much better option, and I see a lot of flexibility there, even with Representative Van Leeuwen's question about that being unfair to the agriculturist. And I share her concern about fairness with ranchers and the non-ranchers owning land. I've grappled with that question a great deal, and within myself, in working on the marginal lands thing. And I think the third option does give the greatest flexibility for that, because even if those ranchers are running a few cattle on that land, it seems to me that for the 3 weeks, as Representative Anderson suggested, they may not be managing it as part of the integrity of their operation. But four is a little frightening to the farmers, I think.
Representative Priestley, then Representative Traynor, and then Bradbury.
Ms. Carnegie, you pointed out that number four, not necessary to maintain, in your instance, that you gave the 18 acres. Now, couldn't that criticism also be given to was not managed, that indeed non-marginal land could be not managed? And
Aren't we talking about a particular time frame in the 3 to 5 years preceding the date of this act?
And there would be good land, maybe that would be not necessarily marginal. That would be would not have been managed because it just wasn't managed.
Meet one of the other tests. The other thing is that we are in a time frame.
Because I get confused with the other tests. How would that work?
May I borrow your copy of the bill?
Sure.
Representative Priestley, first have to go through an income test. If it wasn't managed, someone let it sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next test would be, would you look and see what the soil classification was? So if it was prime farmland that hadn't been managed, it wouldn't be declared marginal. because it wouldn't fall in the correct soil classification.
And how about the necessary to maintain? Is that not also going to have to jump through that hoop? Or no?
Yes.
So I'm just trying to get the difference between 3 and 4, not necessarily...
I think necessary to maintain gives, you know, lets the truck drive through the loophole.
Does it have to meet these other tests, though?
Well, if it was not necessary to maintain the farm operation that produced $20,000 or more in gross income in 3 of the 5 years preceding 1983, yeah, you're right, it has to meet the other, but the parcel I'm talking about could meet the parcelization test.
But isn't it easier to understand? I feel like it's contemporary, it's right now, is not necessary, and we can look at that today, and you don't have to go back 15 years, maybe 1995.
We're not.
Or is this not the part that we go back to the 3 to 5 years preceding the next year? Just the 3 to 5 years? So this would make it contemporary with it? Contemporary criteria in 1995 versus one that goes back? I get confused with going through all these hoops, but...
No, this goes back for... this has to be in 3 of the